versos número 2. Colossians 2. What's that? There is one. Thank you. I don't want to defile the holy sanctuary. Okay, Colossians 2:18, and let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness, your blessings. I do ask you to help us to understand your words. Help us to enjoy the Word of God. Help us to enjoy time together. I just pray you'd help us to be honest and real. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Larry, I forgot. You wanted to make your announcement or testimony? He's been praying, asking prayer requests for serious health issues, so he wanted to let you know.
Yeah, some people have been asking some questions, and I think it's all been too tight. I can't ask any questions afterwards or something. I don't have all the answers. I went to the Jesse Brown Community Hospital in Chicago. They did a biopsy test on my father, and unfortunately, I got cancer. And the good side of it, if you want to call it this, is that it's a low-grade cancer, low-growing, so it gives the person technically time to do research and or change things, do things, whatever they have. And that's what I'm trying to do. Three choices of so-called curing, if you want to call it that, is surgery, radiation, and or the implant radiation. And that's usually, from what I understand, a one-time thing to go home. Whereas the radiation handling that you do, that's 5 days a week, six for 6 weeks. And driving from Crown Point, from here to Crown Point, and then just about they get the bus to go to Crown, to the other being the opposite of Chicago. Whatever. If I have to, I will. But the side effects of these things, there's many different things. I think in my opinion, the surgery would be the worst side effect you could possibly have, but then I don't know. So I'm kind of looking forward to see or it's a seed thing where they go in and they do a sound test and they scan it and they put seeds in, however many amount of percent sure. Depends on the amount in there. Like I said, the good news is that it's low grade, it's not fast or growing. In some men there are symptoms, but many men there are no symptoms. I have no symptoms. The PSA blood test has turned out to be that it's not as positive as they thought it was. They're starting to have second opinions of the PSA blood test to determine whether or not a man has cancer in that area. What the answer is for that, who knows? I don't have full confidence in very many medical situations. There are some natural things I can do to slow it down, potentially reverse it, stuff like that. I'm going to give it a try. However, if you want to call this good news, in a sense, men in my age category, let's say 50 on up, in the majority of the cases, die from some other cause. Heart attack, stroke, car wreck, airplane crash, suicide, or whatever. It has no effect from the cancer in low grade area. And in fact, he told me about this man that he found out he had it 15 years before he died. He died at age 89. I don't have any other answers. I'm currently going to see a urologist in about January 2nd. I've got an appointment with him, and what I'm trying to do is schedule and trying to find out what it would cost to him through St. Anthony's, which they can do it, how much is insurance wise, Medicare, because I'm currently on Medicare and stuff like that, figure out what it's all going to pay to cover whatever, and it's depending on the bill and what like that. I may change my own to the radiation part of it, or whatever it may be. Anyway, the bottom line is this. any pain or anything like that. I'm not hurting or anything. I'm not passing any kind of blood or anything like that. Thank God or anything. But I need you to pray for me in two areas of my life. One, the physical area. But more importantly, pray for my spiritual life. But also I ask my brothers and sisters, my family here, to pray for each other spiritually. I think we all could use it. And I'm not quite what thing is, I'm not condemning up like that's not what I'm saying. I just see our world, primarily my country, but then if I can do it, grace my heart, see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Falling down. And I think the primary reason is we have families are falling apart because there's no spiritual feeding in it. And not that we're anything special, walk down the street, but we do need to set an example. Again, not to walk down the street and puff up our chest and say that we're it, but if a person that is kind of leaning one way or the other, is there a God? He's like, well, you need to ask that person a question because he looks like he's kind of leaning towards God. I need to find out the truth. That's how I was years and years ago before I prayed. Anyway, pray for that. Pray for each other. And when you do close your prayer, let's ask, Lord, let today be the day you come for your life. Now, yes, to get me out of my mess, to get you out of your own messes, but I can't imagine this, but I believe it. I can't imagine what's going to be like to see His blessed face and hear His blessed voice and stand before Him. Yes, like I said, get me out of my mess, but to see Him, I can't. I wish I could come up with words. I don't know. So pray that we, of course, something that physically, I would appreciate that. God is a good guide, the Lord is guiding and directing your path up and down. Well, I'm 100% sure. Then also, primarily before that, pray that my spiritual needs, that He would guide me that way and help me stay strong spiritually, and then for our brothers and sisters, my family. So, again, don't ask any questions per se. I don't really have all the answers, and I may never have all the answers. I don't know. But just pray about it, okay?
Okie dokie. Okay, Colossians 2:18 down to 23. This section is about a false humility that religion often portrays. Okay, and so remember that Colossians is written basically for our time period. The word Laodicea is found five times in this letter, so that is pertinent territory for us. And so in verse 18 is where we left off last time. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. So you can see what it's connected with is something that's a false humility. Because it's somebody worshiping angels, which are obviously forbidden in the Bible. Plus the word beguile. Beguile is like a seduction per se. Where he says in chapter 2, verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And so, verse 18, this is basically a slam against a monastic life, being a monk, okay, or somebody who are ultra disciplined in their lives, and they know they are. And then they're going to be bragging about their religious duties. They're impressed with themselves, is what they are. Okay, and he says, watch out. He said, you're going to lose your reward if you don't combat this idea of voluntary humility. Okay, and it's not it's just not other faith. But, you know, when you look at churches or religion, it's really comical. How things are done. I mean, you go into a Catholic church and you dip your hands in this water and tic-tac-toe three in a row, and what's that supposed to do? You know, and we can make fun of that and laugh about it. It is goofy. It is goofy, but we do things that are goofy too. And we get in a rut just like everybody else gets in a rut. When we went, Brent and I went to Vietnam, we went to this very, very large pagoda. In the back of it, they had a picture of what they thought was Jesus, Buddha, Moses, and two other characters. And then in the front of the big building, they had an all-seeing eye of Horus. And it's a joke. And this was a place where tourists can go, so they had a place where tourist people can walk around as they do their little religious stuff. And I thought I was in a KKK meeting. I mean, they had the white hoods, they had the pointy hats, they had white ones that were in one band, they had yellow ones, they had blue ones, like a turquoise blue color. And we're sitting there watching, these guys are sitting down, and you know, birds are flying through this place. And I thought, what a joke. This is a joke. And Brent had a plastic bottle of water, so he was squeezing it, trying to mess up the vibes, and the tour guide told him, stop that, that's messing the vibes up. I mean, come on, if you can mess somebody's vibes up with that, you got problems. Okay, but the idea is we ought to be able to relax in our faith, and if somebody's going to laugh at us, so what? I mean, you get down on college campuses, and kids make a lot of fun of what you believe. Laugh back at them. I mean, they say, well, you believe a book. And I laugh, and I say, yeah, I do. What do you believe in your college classroom? Do you have textbooks in there? Don't you believe a book? So you laugh at me because I believe in a book, so I can laugh at you because you believe in a book. My book happens to be better than yours. You know? But, you know, if you think about a lot of things we do, it's goofy. It's funny. You can laugh at it. We ought to be able to laugh at things. I mean, and laugh even at our faith. If somebody wants to mock Jesus Christ in front of me, like they do down there, I don't get mad at them. You're blasphemous! I just look at them and say, hey, pal, it's your funeral, not mine. If you want to mock Jesus Christ in front of me, if I get tired of it, I'll walk away. But if you want to do that, I'm not going to fight you over it. I'm not going to get mad about it. I'm just telling you, you're going to stand in front of Jesus Christ someday. I said, I don't think you're going to be doing that in front of Him during those days. You can have your fun now, enjoy it now, because this is all the heaven you're going to see. And this is all the hell I'm going to see. And so, I mean, just relax in your faith. We need to be relaxed in what we believe, knowing that the Bible's true. I don't care what people say about it. And just be real about it, honest. Okay, so he's saying this is a voluntary humility. Man, when I sat on that plane going from San Francisco to Australia and that monk sat beside me, he looked like a toad, a dead toad in the sun for 3 hours. He's so puffed up with himself. So enamored. Impressed with his big round garb. Impressed. That one flight Jan and I was on, this guy was behind, this is a different guy, Indian, a Hindu, and he was behind in his prayers. And so we had to listen during that entire time where he's going through his Hindu rosary. And I'm thinking, man, he's springing a leak or something over there. And we're praying against the clown. And he went through that thing 5 times. Said he does that 5 times a day, and he was behind, so he had to catch up from some past times. But that's goofy. When we went to, was in Vietnam, went to a Buddhist pagoda, and this was an outdoor facility, and they had somebody, remember the gong show? Had somebody hitting a gong, and it was somebody hitting that thing every 30 seconds. I can't imagine the person who did that all day long when they went to bed at night. And then there was a young Buddhist kid sitting there like who was infested with parasites, skinny as could be, but yet he's proud of himself. You know, he's serving his Buddhist God. He's got some discipline. And then we saw a couple Buddhists walk over to us one time where they were going to beg for money, and Mike said something to them in the language and said they were fake Buddhists. Those were fake Buddhists trying to take advantage of the tourists. He said they cussed me after I exposed them. But people are impressed with themselves when they're religion. They are. And they're losing the rewards for that. Verse 18, that somebody's beguiled them. Worshipping of angels, obviously that's forbidden in the Bible. Worshipping of angels, but that's what Fatima is all about. That's what Guadalupe is all about. It's worshiping some mysterious, fascinating, out of the ordinary experience. Why do people have these things? Well, some of them are on dope. Some of it might be legit. Some of it might not be. I remember a lady came to Rensselaer Church, and she talked to me afterwards, and she said, I want to tell you something. I saw this silhouette of Jesus on my ceiling when I was laying in bed. What do you think that was? I said, probably a silhouette of Jesus on your ceiling that you saw when you was in bed. I mean, I wasn't impressed. Well, what do you think that meant? And I said, well, it probably meant that you saw a silhouette of Jesus on your ceiling when you were in bed. Well, I thought it meant that I was special. Ah, that's where we're going with this. Special. Does that mean you ride the short bus? You know? That's what a lot of these experiences are. People are impressed with the experience they had. And I'm not discounting the experiences people have had. I don't think you should call them a liar because it probably was legit. And I wouldn't say that it was the devil. It probably was. But if we go to our Bible and we find out that even, I don't care what kind of experience a person has, nobody can have a more authentic and biblical vision than the Apostle Peter did. Nobody can. Peter went on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ. James and John were with him. Moses and Elijah showed up. Who can get something better than that? That's not Fatima. Or Fatima, or whatever they pronounce that. Where an angel or Mary showed up to three Portuguese children 6 months in a row on the 13th day of the month. That wasn't that. Okay, Peter had the greatest vision ever known to man, and he said, when he recounted that vision in 2 Peter, he said, I have something more sure than that, and it's a Bible. We judge everything by the Bible, no matter what our experiences are. And, I wish God would let us see him sometime. Let us see some evidence that we're doing the right thing. Boy, that would be nice. But, you know what? We lose a blessing when we get that. Because he told Thomas, and he said, the people that have never seen me and served me get a greater blessing than you do. You saw me. Okay, and so in verse 18, the worshiping of angels. And then he said, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Okay, puffed up. This is puffed up about religious things. Okay, and any and all of us, the more we get in the Word of God, we just got to recognize that is God's grace, that's not our intelligence. And the thing is, we just want to be ourselves, be honest, be real. Don't put on a show, don't put on a spiritual front, don't make it look like I'm spiritual than the next guy. Because we each, none of us would want our mind to be put on a video screen and show people what's been going through our head. None of us want that, especially us men. I would not want the visions that goes through this head put on a screen and displayed in this church. I wouldn't want that. Okay, and so we're all, like the old saying, God gives every dog enough fleas to remind it it's a dog. And it gives us, he just keeps us in mind that we each have a besetting sin. There are some sins that God gives you a complete and absolute victory over immediately right off the bat. But then there are some sins that God will make us struggle with until we see Jesus face to face. And so that's where we just got to keep relying upon our Savior to overcome those sins. Okay, so verse 18 and then verse 19. In reality, these religions are not holding the head, Jesus Christ. They're not interested in Jesus Christ. They're not holding to Him. They're not beholding to Him. And that is easily proved just by simply asking people questions. Okay, this lady was a Catholic lady years ago I talked to. And she, you know, claimed that she loved Jesus. She claimed that she loved Mary. And so I was going to just show her that she didn't by asking her questions. So I asked her if Mary was standing in front of us, would she do what Mary said? She said, I would. And I showed her that Mary said to do whatever Jesus says. So I asked her, would you do that? She said, yes. So I said, okay, Jesus Christ said over here in John 5, search the Scriptures. Do you do that? She said, no. I said, are you going to start? She said, I don't think so. And then I said, well, Jesus said over here, call no man father upon earth. I said, are you going to stop? She said, no. I said, then you do not care what Jesus Christ thinks from your own admission. Don't kid me. Go kid somebody else. And so when you get dealing with people, they're impressed with their religion. They're impressed with their knowledge. And when you ever get around somebody like that and you start asking them questions and they get exposed real quick, they also get real quiet. I remember a black guy in jail. He thought he was so spiritual and he wanted to confess his sins to me. He was Catholic. And so I'm talking to this guy and he walks up to the bars and he said, I'd like to confess my sins to you. I said, I don't want to fill my mind with your garbage. He said, well, I'm used to confessing my sins to somebody. And I said, and I'm used to not somebody confessing their sins to me. And we had a go-round. He thought I was going to give in because he's going to be afraid. He's going to do what the black guy says. He's going to be branded a racist. So we went back and forth. Well, I'm used to confessing my sins to somebody. And I said, I'm used to somebody not confessing them to me. I said, I have a hard enough time with my life, my mental life. And I said, and I don't want to fill it with your garbage. He gave up on me. Took a while, but he gave up. And so just because it felt comfortable to him doesn't mean it feels comfortable with me. But he was impressed with himself. Verse 19, it says, not holding the head. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bottom line. And they're not holding the head of the body, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's back in verse 9, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's the Lord Jesus. Okay, and so then it says, from which all the body by joints and bands have nourishment ministered, and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. This is increasing in the knowledge of God Himself. Knowing God. Okay, the body of the joints and bands, that's obviously the church, the bride of Christ. Okay, if you want to call it local church or the mystical body church, either way you want to go on that. Okay, but as far as the church body goes, we each have strengths and weaknesses, and the best idea is to have one final authority. And if everybody submits to that final authority, okay, and then let the Lord control things, what's going on, and to be willing to be flexible with God's leading and just to relax and rest in the Lord. A lot of times, we get into the mindset that we got to do this, and if we don't do it, we're going to do it anyway. But what if God don't want us to do it? There's a fine line on some things. When you feel like you want to be led to do something and you get opposition, what is the opposition? Is that God trying to stop you or is that the devil trying to hinder you? Sometimes it's hard to figure out. And sometimes maybe you can have your prayers, if you have some prayers that you have specifically you want the Lord to answer, maybe you ought to say them quietly so the devil can't read your mind. Because maybe he can give you 90% and you think you got it right. But if you just do it quietly between you and the Lord, and you wait for that 100%, then you know it's the Lord. The devil can arrange things. He can make things appear right. I think there's been many a preacher that had a burden to go someplace to preach. Like if anybody that travels to New York City and sees the mess could get a burden for the trouble there, anywhere. But if that's not your call, then don't go there. pay somebody else to go there. Or send money to a Bible believer that's there. And the thing is, we got it. You know, Paul, his burden got him in trouble many times, did it not? He had a burden for the Jews, and that got him in trouble. His calling was to the Gentiles. And so the thing is, we got to follow the calling God has directed us. And when we are increasing in our God, then the Lord will direct us in that. Verse 20, wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ. Okay, that's a mysterious thing. If we be dead with Christ, that is salvation. If we be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. The rudiments, that's the basic foundation that the world operates by. And every age has a certain spirit that goes with that age. And one of the qualifications of David's mighty men is they understood the times. And do we understand our times? Our times is putting pressure like crazy on Christians. Especially Bible-believing Christians. And especially Bible-believing churches. You know, I was talking to Brother Ron Robinson up in Fairbanks, and he lost a bunch of folks in his church. And basically the one guy behind this was upset because he wouldn't pronounce words the way he thought he should have pronounced the words. You say, is that crazy? It's that nutty. You know, down in Pensacola, they had a big split in the church down there because one side says the tribulation 3.5 years and the other side 7 years. Who cares? It's not that big of a deal. What's the big deal on something like that? And the thing is, we got to recognize that you major in the major things, minor in the minor things, and recognize that we're never going to agree 100%. Nobody agrees 100%. I don't agree with myself 100% of the time. And we just relax and recognize that maybe the Lord's directing this person on this idea, this belief, because He wants them to stand alone on that belief, and He's not directing somebody else. And so in verse 18 and 19 and 20, this is dealing with a false piety, a false humility in faith. Now probably one of the, if you want to put this in a camp, one of the group that would display this would be hyper-Calvinist. And here's the basic mindset of a hyper-Calvinist. Here's how this would work. And it's a temptation that goes with that. Is that a hyper-Calvinist says that God is the one who chooses who's to be saved. Okay, Harold Campy, I hope he is one of the elect. The guy, you know, died this past week. And so, was he one of the elect? He didn't know. He wouldn't tell people if you knew or not. Harold Campy. And so, here's the mindset. God is the one that chooses or elects who's to be saved and who's lost. So since I have been selected by the sovereign God, He got a good deal. You see, that's the mindset. God chose me. Do you see why? Well, of course we see why. You know? And I'm serious. A hyper-Calvinist preacher eventually will get to that point where he thinks the world revolves around him. And that's a problem with a lot of preachers, though. A lot of preachers, how do they live their life? Okay, if they're full-time, they'll sit in an office, you know, 4 or 5 days a week. People come in and ooh and ah and Google over them, you know, counsel, get their wisdom and everything. And they're not getting out doing, working with their hands. They're not getting out recognizing what people got to put up with. I mean, they need to get out and find out what people are putting up with. I mean, for people to come on Thursday nights, I know what you're going through. You know, I was building that house a couple of years, working hard all day Thursday and getting ready for Thursday night, coming to church. And I'm thinking to myself, hey, these people are doing this all the time. I mean, they're working all day long and they got to quickly get changed for supper and then come in and listen to church service. That's something. You know, that's putting an effort out for the Lord. You know, or if you're picking somebody up or you're witnessing to somebody. And that's not, you know, and I recognize we don't have it rough like a lot of other Christians in other parts of the world. I recognize we got it pretty soft. But still, we got to think what people go through. And a lot of people going through tough times. And again, you know, America's not as bad as other places. Okay, and so he says, from the rudiments of the world, why as though living in the world are you subject to ordinances? Ordinances, statutes, laws. There are some of the crosses between them. Ordinances in this context, and it seems throughout the Bible, ordinances generally point to spiritual regulations. Okay, if you run that throughout the Bible. Are subject to ordinances. Okay, and like, this is throughout the Bible, you have laws, civil, statutes that can be civil. For example, in our country, you have statutes, federal statutes, state statutes, and generally ordinances are limited to municipalities. Generally, that's how we use it in our culture. In the Bible, ordinances are used more toward a religious thing or a spiritual thing, okay, where you have somebody's ordained. You know, this idea of being ordained, what is that all about? A license to preach. What, I got to go to the driver's license branch to get a license to preach? You know, years ago, a pastor called me up and he was saying, you know, I got somebody that wants to run their mission money through our church. He said, I heard you knew some things. He said, how would you go about it, brother? How would you go about starting this thing to help support this missionary? I said, I just started. Well, you don't have to call anybody? I said, call yourself. If you feel led of God to do it, do it. Why do you have to call somebody to do these things? You know, just do the thing. You know, you don't have to broadcast anything, put a big show, you don't have to get permission from somebody. Just do it. And that's what we need to do if we're ministers of Jesus Christ. This ordination thing. I got ordained in Colorado Springs. I didn't ask for it. I didn't care for it. These guys asked me questions. I thought, big deal. Oh, goody, I got a piece of paper with 6 or 7 men's signature on it. I'm ordained. Is that something like pasteurized or homogenized? I don't know. And I can guarantee you those men that put their signature in that paper wouldn't appreciate my preaching today. I can guarantee you that. The guy that I got ordained with had a 30-page statement of faith. I had 7. His was more impressive than mine. And one guy said he was going to ask me the question if Adam had a belly button. I said, if you ask me that one, I'll give you the answer. Yeah, he did, because God blew him up and tied him off somewhere. And so, you know, I mean, this ordination, license to preach, that really means nothing. It really doesn't. A lot of times ordination is when men actually realize that God is blessing this man, so we want to put our stamp of approval on it. In the old days, the missionaries were all chosen in England. And who was it? Was it John Carey that just said, I'm just going. I'm just going to go. I don't care if I got your permission or not. I'm just going. There is something to be in organizing things. There is some things to be in recognized. But yet, as far as God wants us to do, if it's you and God, that's all that matters. It's got to be you and God. Because they're probably most likely going to come a time in your life that you're going to be challenged by somebody. And if it's not you and God, you're going to get shook. And like David, when David was almost getting stoned that day, it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's where we got to get. Our bottom line is our encouragement in the Lord. So verse 20, subject to ordinances. Now the rest of the sentence, or the question in this case, is at halfway through verse 22. So skip the parentheses for now. So it reads like this. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances after the commandments and doctrines of men? Okay, so that's the question. Now, that doesn't mean we shun it. We don't stand against it. That's not saying that. It's just that saying we put our trust in the Lord, in verse 20. That's where the trust is in the Lord. Verse 21, he says, touch not, taste not, Helena, which all are to perish with the using. Okay, so the idea again is not after the commandments of men. That doesn't mean we should shun them. Okay, when I got ordained, I didn't shun it. I didn't put up a fuss about it. It was recommended by the spiritual leadership of that day. I said, okay, that's fine with me. I just didn't see the big deal of it myself. And to this day, I really don't see the big deal of it. But where the big deal comes in is that if let's say you have a school or an institute, and if somebody is going out and they want your recommendation, that's where your name's on the line. And so that's where you got to be careful. And the thing is, if this person say, would you recommend me? Well, what are you asking me to recommend you? That you went through the schooling, you took the test? Yeah, I can do that. To vouch for your character, I can vouch for the time period that I know you. Beyond that, I can't do that. Why? Because you don't know. And we all can change. We all can go through situations. Well, so-and-so recommended this. That's fine. That's wonderful. I get a lot of letters from missionaries coming in, recommended by Pastor so-and-so, and this one so-and-so. And I tell you, I throw more out than anything. You know, and why? Because, you know, I'm looking for the Bible believers. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, and so after the commandments and doctrines of men, and then verse 23, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship? Okay, they look like wisdom in will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Okay, this neglecting of the body, that would be flagellation. Okay, mutilation or penance. Okay, where the Catholic Church pushes those things very much so. Neglecting of the body. We are not to neglect the body. Fasting is not neglecting the body. It's really not. In fact, it's a very healthy thing to do. Okay, but if...